Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon. Hey everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined by the one, the only, Adriana Demora.
Hi.
And you have your four-legged friend with us.
Yes, he's my ride or die with me all the time. So even at the time of an interview.
I mean, he is welcome here. He can soothe you. I mean, like, do I dare even ask how this season is going for you?
It's been a roller coaster of emotions. Yes, it's been quite intense.
I mean, we're kind of in the thick of it now, right?
Yes.
Listen, you're an OG. Like, where would you say season 5 ranks for you in terms of, like, your most enjoyable seasons and your least enjoyable?
Well, I've enjoyed this season the most up to now, right? In many ways, I feel like I could show things that I've done before that I didn't talk about in the past, like my songs. And so I was actually enjoying this season, I think, the most until this whole thing started to unravel. Yeah.
Until this Bahamas trip from hell.
Yeah.
I mean, well, listen, you know, it's you and Julia went to the store, you know, the bodega, you know, everyone's now accusing you guys of witchcraft. You went, you gave out the stones, you know, Kiki and Gertie fell backwards and they hurt your foot. You know, they broke your foot. Like, let's just start there before we get into everything else that happens. Like when, you know, they fell on your foot and you hurt your foot and then everyone walks away, you know, like why, I guess right there, did no one believe that your foot was actually hurt? Like they just all kind of rolled their eyes.
Yeah, that was kind of like upsetting to me that people just didn't, you know, care enough and just walked away as if nothing, you know. Only Julia, of course, and Nicole, you know, really concerned. And I think that says a lot, doesn't it?
Do you think there's like a double standard in this group? You know, like if someone else had hurt their foot or was, you know, having this, like, do you think that there would have been more sympathy?
Yeah, there's definitely a double standard. I see that. And it depends who it is, if it's convenient for them to you know, shower them with attention. They would do that. But to me, I felt like they, you know, certain people didn't really care. Yes.
Well, even before everything that like ultimately happened, you know, it seemed like, you know, Alexia and Marisol, you guys just weren't on the same page during this trip. Like, was this, you know, did something even prior to the whole incident, which we're going to talk about, like, do you think this was like the culmination of like 10 years? Like, has this been building up with Marisol and Alexia for like the past 10 years when you guys have been off the air?
Well, that's a good question, because I never had any issues with them in the sense of I've never done anything to them in all these years of friendship. In my eyes, I'm nothing but supportive. And even when they drift away after we wrap season three, you know, I stayed from a distance, but yet loyal to them and still consider them my good friends, right? And so that's a little bit to me surprising how they're coming for me this season, because I never really did anything to them. But I guess underneath, you know, the surface, there was more to it than I realized, you know.
I mean, it seems like you can do no right in their eyes now.
Yes. Whatever I do is never good enough. I apologize. I get down my knees. I apologize again. And they won't let go of the bone, you know. And I feel like they keep kicking me when I'm down. And I call them fair weather friends, because when I was married on top of my game and I felt like they had something to take, then they were my friends. Now they feel like I'm less relevant. So then they can, it's, Julia said it really well. It's like the jungle's law. Let's attack the weaker and go for it with no remorse, just because they can.
Well, I was going to say, and why do they see you as weaker now? Just because, why?
Because I don't have a husband, you know, because they feel like I'm just alone. And so therefore they feel like I'm more vulnerable, which I am in a way. You know, I went through a lot emotionally. So maybe I am feeling a little more vulnerable mentally. And, you know, so they sense it. It's very predatorial, actually.
I mean, you guys have been through so much, like divorces, breakups, like deaths of spouses, literally. You know, why do you think, I mean, are you shocked that now when you're down that this is happening from Alexia and Marisol?
I'm very shocked, you know, because throughout the years, I was there for them, you know. Whatever it was, you know, I was there for them. And again, I never did anything to them. So I am shocked, because why would they turn on me? I don't understand. And so obviously they have, you know, alternative motives, ulterior motives that, again, they see me weaker, vulnerable, and then let's attack, you know?
Yes. So you did have this injury with your foot, and you were trying to explain it. And, you know, Alexia mentioned, you know, it was an accident, and you said, yes, I know, but accidents have consequences, as you know, with Frankie. And we see what has happened next. So, like, what was going through your mind at that time when this statement came out?
Well, I was very saddened by the whole twist of that. You know, first and foremost, you know, I understand that was a bad analogy, right? I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have done it. And I regret it. And I'll take those words back if I could, because my intention was the opposite. So if you look at the scene carefully, we started this scene with me thanking her, being grateful that we had such a nice moment in the boat when we were going there, and everybody for a minute forgot to fight, and everybody's dancing, singing. And it felt like a healing moment for the entire group. And whatever beef we had, you know, we put it aside for a minute, for 2 minutes, 30 seconds of the song. So it felt so good. And even though I'm there with my foot's throbbing and it's hot and it, you know, I'm still trying to be part of the group. And so it felt like, wow, it's when you put in a lot of work and you have something out that makes people happy, then I felt happy and grateful. So I was thanking her. Like my state of mind was, well, thank you for liking the song. It means a lot to me, you know, because I put a lot of work into it. And then she immediately twisted it. Instead of accepting my token of appreciation and gratitude, she immediately turned into a negative, right? She was like, well, that's not the issue we have. It's not your song. So she, my mind now, I see she was planning on twisting it. She was planning on twisting it all along. She was just waiting for the moment. And I felt like when I made that bad analogy, I just gave it to her on a silver platter. And then she just ran with it.
Do you think if you didn't say this, there would have been something else, like in this scene, so to speak, that...
If I hadn't said that, it would have been something else. She was just waiting for the moment.
After you said it, like, you know, we say things and then they're out there. Like, what was your reaction? Like, once this came out,
I was just very sad, you know, and very, like, just very sad by the whole thing. Because again, I thought, you know, that I could patch things up, I could make things better, you know, come on, we've been friends forever. You know, I've never in 13 years of friendship, even recently, when her son, Peter, got, you know, criticized by getting in trouble and this and that, her own, you know, then husband, I mean, fiance, you know, called her out on her parenting. I never, never criticized her. Never once uttered one word of judgment or disrespect. So to me, it makes no sense that knowing that, that she would twist it around and say, oh, how dare you? Because she knows deep down, I never judge her for it. I never, you know, I would never say such thing because we weren't fighting. To me, in my mind, it was a moment of gratitude. It wasn't fighting, you know?
I mean, you could understand why she's upset though, right?
Of course, I can understand why she's upset because again, it was a bad analogy, right? But I apologize profusely at the time, like you're going to see in the next episode. And I apologize after that as well. And I feel like I stuck my foot in my mouth and I regret it. And I wish you would, what I was trying to reach with that bad analogy was empathy from her. Especially because she has gone through such thing, you know, and I have gone through a lot of things too, that I was thinking nobody else should be more empathetic towards anyone than her because she went through so much. But instead, she just took it wrong. And I felt bad because my intention was never to hurt her. You know, my intention is never to talk about Frankie because I have nothing but love and sympathy for him, you know. He's a beautiful being and it doesn't make sense, you know, that she took it that way. But yet, I regret saying it, yeah.
Oh, how, like, what was going on in the scene? Like, you know, because we all know how editing is. Like, when was your apology? Like, was that scene, like, hours? You know what I mean? Like, because we don't see that. I know how it's edited together. Like, when did you apologize? And, like, how long was this interaction between the two of you?
Yeah, we were there for hours, you know. I tried apologizing just, you know, a few minutes after that happened, but she walked away and we have nothing to do with it, you know. And then so, you know, I tried to apologize a couple of times and she wouldn't let go of it and the bone pretty much. And then it makes me feel like I said, it was an intention there to create contention, and that was used because it needed to, you know. Now I gave to her something. It was almost like a whole game, I'm gonna get you, like catch you game, that whole weekend. started with when we gave the stones, you know, as a token of friendship, and got twisted into, oh, Brazilians do witchcraft. And another sweeping generalization, you know, she had called Julia, you know, a good hooker because she was Russian. And now she was saying, you know, I'm a witch because Brazilians do witchcraft. So it's so much generalization. And it was like a game for her, like, I'm going to get you. And when I unfortunately used that bad analogy, it just gave her the munition she needed to attack me.
You guys know I'm always on the go and running around with this job, and I've never made a priority of hydrating and putting the right nutrients into my body, and I always find myself hungry. That's why 310 Nutrition for me has been a lifesaver. Their water hydrators are great. You add them to water and they make your water so delicious. They have refreshing, healthy lemonade mixes without sugar, and my personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. My favorite's the caramel sundae, but they also have vanilla cake, shamrock cream, chocolate icing. One of these shakes, it totally satisfies my hunger. It cures my carb craving. It cures my sugar craving. It's low fat and low carbs. And hello, it tastes like dessert. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
You all might think I make it look easy running this podcast, but 4 years later, I can tell you it hasn't been. The hardest part for me, honestly, has been hiring good people. I either can't find people that are qualified to do all these jobs that I need, editing, producing, or I find someone that qualified and then they leave me. It's not me, is it? I don't think so. But listen, now I can actually look forward to hiring because I have Indeed. It's really changed my life. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. So I don't have to spend like multiple hours on different job sites and looking for people with the right skills. I have no spare time if you haven't noticed. And what I love is their instant match. As soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of qualified candidates whose resumes on Indeed match my job description. So I can invite them all to apply in one place right away. Quick, quick, quick. That's how I need to work here, people. Indeed knows when you're growing your own business, like here behind the Velvet Rope, you have to make every dollar count. And that's why with Indeed, you only pay for quality applications that match your must-have job requirements. Visit Indeed.com/velvet to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/velvet. Let me say it one more time. Indeed.com/velvet. Terms and conditions apply. Cost per application, pricing not available for everyone. Need to hire? You need Indeed. You think Alexia and or Marisol were like looking for something that weekend?
Yep. They were looking for something.
But you regret what you said, obviously.
1,000% I regret saying that because that was not the intention. I would never, you know, judge her or talk about Frankie, you know, for whom I only have love and sympathy. You know, it was never the intent.
So you apologize, we saw on camera. And I mean, I imagine you apologize again. I'm just assuming.
I've apologized many, many times on camera, off camera. And she keeps kicking me down. I'm pretty much begging on my knees, apologizing, and she keeps kicking me down, you know, kicking when I'm already down and acting as if she never said anything offensive to anyone, you know, without meaning it. And I felt like, well, if you're perfect, you know, you throw the first stone. And made me think of when she was shaming a trans woman at a pride event in which she was going to be, you know, honored as a gay marshal. And before she goes up on stage, she's sitting downstairs, you know, telling her then fiance, oh, that's a man, that's a man. So she, again, she should understand, because sometimes we say things that we don't mean, right? And they might sound pretty offensive, but you don't mean it, you know, you just say it sometimes without thinking.
When was this pride event?
It was last season, season four.
And
it
the,
was
one, the one we saw. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And she said, that's a man, that's a man, but it's not. I mean, when you're trans, you're not a man if you're a woman.
But how insensitive is it, right? How would that, if we were to ask this woman, how would she feel by this comment, right? Somebody who has gone an entire life of transformation and surgeries and shame and like to overcome, you know, this body that she comes into this world and to become her real self, everything that she went through, and someone just easily dismisses it and say, oh, that's a man. I mean, how offensive is that and insensitive? So I'm sure if we were to get the words from this woman, it wouldn't be very kind. But what I'm trying to say is, I apologize so much, and she doesn't take the apology and continues to, you know, kick me when I'm down. But is she perfect? You know, like I'm saying, like, she has stuck her foot in her mouth, you know, time and time again.
What has your off-camera apologies looked like? Is it text? Like, do you send emails, text? Like, what does that look like?
Text, yeah. And then, you know, that's another thing. Like, when I was scrolling down the texts I have with her, every time we text, I was asked about Frankie, you know, like, happy that to see Frankie doing better. That was always my concern, you know? I mean, it doesn't even make sense the way she's spinning this, the way she's... Because she knows me, and she knows me that 13 years of friendship, I never once did anything to her, and especially not in that respect. But yet she's crucifying me and goes out to emotionally lynch me. I mean, I felt emotionally lynched, you know, that day and even later in that day. Because she wouldn't let go of the bone.
Do you, what, and when you've texted her off air, like, you've sent text, and, like, have they been responded to, like, negatively or just not at all? Like, what has the response been?
Well, I think at the time she didn't respond, and then later I apologized again and I said, thank you for, you know, understanding that this is not the intention here. And she didn't respond, so.
Do you think, like, because you said, you alluded to, like, Marisol and Alexi were kind of looking for something that weekend. Do you think that, and I'm not coming for anyone, I'm just asking these questions, like, do you think that Alexia's outrage is based on anything more than just pure outrage? Because it involves Frankie. Like, what I'm getting at is, like, do you think it's for the show? Like, do you think it's, like, we're making a good show, we're in season five, we know how to do this. Like, do you think it's exaggerated for the show, or do you think it's all well-founded?
I think this is a twofold situation. I believe, obviously, you know, as a mother, I can 100%, you know, understand her feelings, okay? Nothing is worse than something happening to your kid, right? I have a son, and actually I saw my mother, you know, Barry, my brother. And so I know firsthand the despair of a mother losing a child or having something bad happen to that child. And I would never, in respect to that, and because I understand that pain, never do that, you know, to someone, show no show, right? So that's the number of things. So I understand her pain, and I think she has unresolved issues, and she has this rage, this, it's almost like bubbling underneath the surface and explodes at any moment's notice, because she has this, she resents the fact that what happened to her son, rightfully so. You know, I'm sorry, Husky, it's okay. It's okay.
He's like, okay. But, right.
But I think that, so she has that rage inside of her because she feels something unfair happened to her son and to her. And of course it was unfair, and nobody wants that. But at the same time, she gets into this grief war, right? So it doesn't matter anyone's grief, nobody's going to win, because she wins the grief war. I mean, she tells even Nicole, like, it's all about winning for her. But even at this point, she still has to win. And that to me is so weird, because we all have grief, we all have losses, and we don't have to compete who has the biggest, you know, pain, right? Like when I was shooting my music video and was in the boat with Gertie, and Gertie mentions the losing of, the passing of her brother and niece and nephew that were, you know, smashed into the debris of a hurricane. And Alexa said, I don't care because my son had a car accident. So that's a pretty insensitive comment towards Gertie. Does it mean that Gertie's pain is lesser than Alexia's pain? Does it mean that my pain is not comparable? But again, I lost my brother. I lost three people during COVID. I have to go through a divorce by myself while being in COVID isolation. So I'm not comparing, and comparing is wrong, because in grief, we all have it. And but we don't need to compete who wins with the biggest grief.
Yeah, I take it you're not speaking to, I mean, she's not speaking to you at all, Alexia.
I thought we were in a better place at one point, but things didn't get much better. And then when she comes out with this, you know, whole thing, manifesto, and so...
Marisol said in the scene, you know, she's dead, you know, she's dead in the water. Like, is it like if Alexia's not speaking to you, Marisol's not speaking to you? I mean, do they go hand in hand?
What Marisol meant is that I was going to feel the wrath of Alexia, because Marisol had received the wrath of Alexia a few times, because Alexia used to be a lot kinder before, like season 1, 2, 3, but now Alexia is in this high where she can do no wrong, and she's just going around scolding everybody, you know, like Nikki, Gertie, me, you know, Julia. I mean, she just thinks she has to be right. Like when we were at her house for the lawyer luncheon, you know, even when she literally was so wrong about saying I was going out with a married man, and I, you know, proved to her over and over again, and I said, I really apologize now for slander. What does she say? Slander, like, you know, she's 12 years old. So the level of hubris and immaturity, it's real with her. She feels she's above it all, you know.
Well, this man who was, we found out, was not married, because she didn't scroll down to the bottom. He didn't seem very happy in that one scene that we saw where everyone was kind of coming for him. I mean, I take it that you are no longer with him. And we saw on the show a little bit that you weren't.
Yeah. And that's another thing, you know, like dating nowadays, you know, picking up the pieces after divorce and having been to be brave, because, you know, dating nowadays, you have to be brave. And so I find someone that likes me, has liked me for a while, finally, you know, start to date, And right before that, the interaction with her, he had tell somebody when we walked up, you know, Nicole's engagement party, he's like, you know, she doesn't know it, but I'm going to marry her one day. So he was really into me. And I, you know, was feeling happy to have someone that, you know, I could possibly have a relationship with. But all that was gone after, you know, what she did to him, right? And he just didn't speak to me since. He kind of ghosted me because I feel like even though he liked me, he didn't want to be part of this toxicity.
And he told Nicole at that party off camera, I'm going to marry you one more day. Nicole,
somebody else in the party. Yeah.
Wow. And that scene really, that Inquisition scene, that was it. He's like, I don't need this. I don't need these cameras. I don't need to be part of this. That was it. He never spoke to you again.
Yeah, because no, we just have a conversation, one conversation after that. And he pretty much said, you know, I don't know if this is for me because your life is complicated in a sense. Because I have to deal with this type of thing, right? With this type of women that will stop at nothing to slander someone. And he's a reputable doctor. His practice, you know, depends on his reputation. So obviously it's natural that he's divorced, his two children, he pays alimony, he pays child support. His, you know, the way that he makes money, it's comes first, right? Then he can't jeopardize his entire practice and, you know, brand making abilities because of someone that remorselessly, you know, insults him and then tries to say he's the bad guy because he disrespected her. But in my book, I think respect is a two-way street, and it's respect should be genderless. You can't, as a woman, insult a man and expect the man not to respond just because you're a woman. That's not how respect should work.
Big change in my life, which you guys know. I'm now splitting my time between New York and LA, and LA is a driving town, except I don't drive. So, you know, I'm taking Ubers everywhere, and I swear to you, this is not the place to complain, but these Uber drivers are so... Why are we speeding up if the traffic light is going from yellow to red? And then we think we're going to make the light, but then you slam on the brakes. None of that matters because I have Relief Band. Before Relief Band, I used to get sick on a daily basis with a severe headache. Not anymore. Relief Band is the number one cleared anti-nausea wristband that's been clinically proven to relieve and effectively prevent nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, even morning sickness. It's literally a band you wear on your wrist, and you can change the intensity depending upon how you are feeling to make it stronger or weaker. So if you want the band that actually works at relieving your nausea, check out Relief Band. Right now, we've got an exclusive offer just for Behind the Velvet Rope listeners. Go to reliefband.com and use promo code VELVET to get 20% off plus free shipping. Head to reliefband.com and use promo code VELVET for 20% off plus free shipping. And you really like this guy, obviously.
I liked him. I liked him, and I could see us together, you know? Like, we had a lot in common. He's Brazilian and had two kids and two sons, and I could see my son and his sons, and I could see, you know, us having something good together. But I also feel like that was a threat, because if I had that, I would be in a more favorable position. And they didn't want to see me strengthened by somebody.
Right. And this situation really caused this to end.
Yes. Yeah. She ended that possibility for me by her behavior. Yeah.
Wow. And you never run into him, or, I mean, in Miami, it's just, it's really, there's no chance of this being salvaged.
I doubt it, because again, it's something that I'm still filming. I have to continue to film, and I have to continue to film with them. And I don't think he will like to, again, jeopardize his practice and his reputation with people that are so remorseful and reckless in throwing out, you know, allegations. And you have to prove, and you prove again and again, and it's still not good. And it's still, you know, like being offensive. And then you try to spin it around and turn it around and blame the other person. Alexis is very smart, and she's very cunning. So she's very good at turning it around and throw it on you. Very good at that.
When you were on the couch during that scene, like you were on that couch and Lisa was with you. I mean, to me, like as a viewer, like you seemed like broken, you know, like broken down. Like, you know, you talked about like your divorce from Frederick, like raising your son alone. Like you said, the death of your brother. I mean, which, but like you just seemed like broken down in that scene.
I was almost like having an emotional, nervous breakdown because I felt nothing I did was right. They're out to get me. And I gave them a reason. You know, I stuck my foot in my mouth. The intention was the opposite, but I just felt like in despair that I just couldn't win. Whatever I did or say, you bring stones to wish them well. Oh, you're Brazilian, therefore you're doing witchcraft. You know, like you're trying to thank them for liking the song and saying thank you so much. Oh, well, you know, your analogy is disgusting and this and that, even though the meaning behind it wasn't so, but so I just couldn't win. And they were totally dismissive of the things that I've been going through in the past few years since COVID hit us as a pandemic.
Well, that's the thing. You also seem broken down, you know, and you said like, you know, these are not good friends. Like it seemed like you were coming to this realization that this friend group, maybe not everyone was such a good friend.
What was surprising to me is that the new girls that I have a lot less history with were a lot more empathetic and there for me than they were, right? Because I believe that since we have so much history, we'll always be friends and we always have each other's back. But no, they were being the ones planting the slander and not apologizing for it and then coming for more. And then, yeah, they just turned on me. And I feel like it's because now instead of seeing my weakness and my vulnerability, instead of saying, hey, are you okay? What can I do? Oh no, let's just go ahead and, you know, kick her when she's down.
Larsa said, you know, it's hard to get to know the real Adriana. We don't know Adriana. Like, do you feel guarded? And if so, maybe do you feel even more guarded now because of this experience when you're down and you realize no one is there really to support you? I mean, some of the new girls, it seems.
Yeah, I feel pretty disappointed, you know, and I feel hurt by those insensitive comments. And Larsa is pretty much repeating what they are saying. You know, Larsa is just, you know, that was originally said by them and Alexia, and then Larsa is just sided with that. So because Larsa and I were getting to a better spot and we were doing well, and then that kind of like threw the whole thing out.
Do you see this? I mean, it seems like you're on the outs, but does it really seem like, to your point now, Larsa is with Alexia and Marisol? Like, is there this divide between the OGs and the new girls with you and Julia maybe on an island by yourselves?
No, there is a divide now, but the divide is pretty much Alexia, Marisol, and Larsa. Me, Nicole, and Julia, and Gertie on the other side. That's pretty much the divide right now.
Right. Did you have a lot of contact, like, with Alexia and Marisol, like, during the hiatus between season and 3 and 4, to this 10 years that this was, like, were you guys really in each other's lives off and on?
No, you know, they drifted apart. You know, after we wrapped season 3, they did wrapped, you know, we did drift apart, you know, life goes on, I guess. And, but there were times where, you know, I would text, oh, I'm doing an event, you guys want to come, or, you know, like reach out. And they reached out to me a couple of times, but nothing consistent, really. The only consistent one was Lisa that, you know, stayed in touch and invited me to her every birthday she had, you know, every New Year's, every Halloween party. So Lisa was always the constant one. And I think that's why Lisa came when I was having my meltdown. And because not only she's going through a similar circumstance currently, right? Like the pain of a divorce and having to figure out everything by herself, understanding how hard that is. And also because Lisa was the only one that stayed through as a friend throughout the years.
What about, we saw in the episode, there was talk of like, oh, we're sitting at the cool girls table, you know, like you and Julia during the 50th birthday party were sitting by yourselves. I know some other people were like floating back and forth. Like, is this group like the Mean Girls? I mean, we saw a movie called Mean Girls with Lindsay Lohan. Like, do you feel that this is like the Mean Girls group?
At that moment, I did feel like I was in the scene of the Mean Girls movie. Yeah, because you're not cool enough to come sit in our table. And Julia and I were the outcasts, the weirdos that weren't allowed to sit in the girl, cool girls, you know, table.
Yeah. So if this is Mean Girls, who's the head of the plastics?
Exactly.
I assume you think it's Marisol and Alexia. I assume. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Oh, yeah. They literally walk around, you know, the lobby saying, you know, we're the cool girls and they can't get us or blah, blah, blah. You know, just like being very so like juvenile about it all, you know, very mean and very juvenile. And I, you know, so I bring all the stuff to surprise Julia for her 50th birthday party, bring it from Miami, like a suitcase of decorations and surprises and stuff. I'm so excited because it's 50th. And it's a big number. It should be a big celebration. But they didn't fight in their hearts to overcome their own, you know, emotions to kind of put it aside for a minute and celebrate Julia, you know? And that to me was sad because then Julia had such a sad, you know, 50th celebration. You know, it was heartbreaking.
What does Lisa say about all of this? I mean, you know, she's known all of you for around the same amount of time. I mean, it seems like you kept in touch with her most. What does she say about all of this between what happened and the fallout of the Bahamas trip between you and Alexia and Marisol?
Lisa tried intervening and trying to make help us come together and talk to them about it, but they just scolded Lisa, you know, and said, no, don't even go there. So they were not nice to Lisa either.
What about Gertie and Nicole? I mean, they both had their own issues with Marisol and Alexia. I mean, they, what did they say about all of this?
Well, they see the pattern, right? They see the pattern, you know, how cunning and how they plot things under the table and then they come on the attack. And the unfair part of it all is the fact that we did not attack them. So they attacked me beginning of the season with this, you're going out with the married guy thing. All I was trying to do is to defend my honor and, you know, not to be demoralized because I care what my son thinks about me. And to defend the guy's practice, you know, like reputation. They did the same to Nicole. You know, they stop at nothing when they turn on you. They will demoralize your entire persona, but also your career and no remorse. And so they have to attack and you cannot defend yourself because the minute you defend yourself, now they act like you're attacking them. And then they attack even stronger. So it's a very bully behavior. Alexia has become a bully. You know, she's just all about bullying this season.
Do you think that is based on the show? You know, like last season was all about her. I mean, you know, some say it was her season. Like, do you think that show has anything to do with this?
Yeah, I think she feels like she's losing ground and or relevance. So then this season she doesn't have much to talk about. So then she made, you know, I'll just things, I mean, all these attacks, thinking, well, I'm, you know, maybe hoping that by making us look bad, she's going to look better, you know? Yeah, I think she's feeling like she went down the pecking order. And then she's now, you know, it's all fair, you know, in war, in, you know, they say in Love and War.
In Love and War.
There, right? So I think that's where she's at right now. She's fighting to maintain her pole position, and she feels Nicole is picking up steam, and she feels like Gertie's picking up steam, and Julie's picking up steam, and I'm picking up steam. So they're going to have to bring us down one way or another.
Is that what it is? Like, okay, Nicole is, you know, becoming a fan favorite or whatnot. I'm just saying, you know, like kind of standing, you know, getting footing with the viewers. Like, is that what it is? Is that why they don't like Nicole, you think?
Yeah, I think from the beginning, you know, they never welcomed Nicole in because Nicole was a threat of becoming, you know, a fan favorite. And God forbid, you know, instead of like saying, this is a group, you know, effort. When we good, when we look, the way I see it, like when we look good individually, we just make the whole group look better, you know, as a franchise. So for us to strengthen ourselves as a group, because our competition are other cities, right? At the end of the day. But instead of seeing that, they just want to mine from the inside and collapse a certain people within, so they maintain their relevance. I just find it very so, you know, unfair and just disingenuous, you know.
And yeah, I would say the competition is other cities, right? Like if you're all doing well, then it's a strong franchise and it's a franchise that's thriving while not all the other franchises are at the moment.
Exactly. Miami is now, you know, taking lead on the favorite franchise, right? And instead of like saying, okay, you know, let's just do more together as a group. Everybody should have their A game individually and then bring us together. We have to make people look bad because then they look better. It's just a childish game, you know?
Nicole did an interview recently. It was either Entertainment Tonight or Watch What Happens, where she said, you know, Marisol is behind it all when it comes to Alexia. Like she said, you know, it's Marisol. She's the one pulling the puppet strings of Alexia. These are her words, not mine. More or less. Do you agree with that?
Well, what does Adriana think about this? Is it all Marisol pulling the purse strings on all the drama that's been occurring on season 5 of RHOM? Where is she today with Larsa? We talk, you know, they've had their differences. We talk about Larsa. We talk more about Alexia's statement that she released on her Instagram. Adriana's own, I mean, this whole thing that she did say, we get more into that. We talk about the fact that she's no longer with this guy. Is she dating now? What can we expect as we head into the reunion? What can we expect as we head into season 6? Seems we have a bunch of people that are not speaking. And, you know, filming, I have from a very reliable source, is going to start really soon. So we are just about to scratch the surface as we watch on this epic season 5 of RHOM. Stay tuned for part 2 of our chat with Adriana Demora coming very, very soon.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.